Hey, I'm Jane Lindholm. I'm the host of Vermont Edition, and I'm just popping in to tell you that this podcast has been edited for brevity. Thanks for listening.
This is Vermont Edition. I'm Bob Kinzel. Governor Phil Scott has created a special commission to look at a number of issues surrounding the legalization of marijuana in Vermont. The panel plans to study highway safety concerns, health issues, education and youth prevention programs, and the possible taxation and regulation of marijuana. Tax Commissioner Kai Sansom is a member of the commission. At the panel's first meeting, he said it would be a waste of time to debate the pros and cons of legalizing marijuana. Instead, he said the commission should focus on how and when to legalize pot.
We have a lot of work to do, and to the extent we start to kind of move into a debate about the wisdom of whether we should be doing this, we're wasting our time. My understanding from the governor's office and the executive order is that this, and I think you heard that affirmed, is that this is how to get to yes safely and responsibly.
How does the commission plan to tackle its work, and what are some of the specific concerns that it will be looking at? Today in the program, we have the two co-chairmen of the Marijuana Commission, Tom Little, who's a former Republican member of the Vermont House and served as chairman of the House Judiciary Committee, is with us, and also Jake Perkinson, who's a former chairman of the Vermont Democratic Party and an attorney in Burlington. Tom and Jake, it's great to have you on the program.
Well, thanks for having us.
Thanks, Bob.
Well, Tom and Jake, we just heard the tax commissioners say that from the governor's point of view, the charge of the commission is not to debate whether or not Vermont should actually legalize marijuana. Instead, the governor wants the panel to address a number of issues to help guide the discussion about the legalization of pot at the State House. I'd like to ask both of you, is this the starting point of the commission's work, that the legalization of marijuana is coming to Vermont? It's really a matter of when and how and whether to create a state tax and regulatory system. Tom Little?
Thanks for the question, Bob. The way I frame it is before the state, before the legislature and the governor make any more decisions about legalization, whether it's the homegrown model or the retail sales model, before those decisions are made, shouldn't we agree on what, at a minimum, Vermont would need in place for highway safety, youth education and prevention programs, treatment programs, other state regulations and taxes and fees, before those decisions are made, so that when any legalization decisions are made, they are informed, they're data-based, and they come with a lot of thought.
Jake, what are your thoughts?
Well, I largely agree with Tom. I think that really the purview of this commission clearly is not to debate the merits of legalization on a philosophical basis as whether or not it's good or bad. I think that the charge of the commission is to take as a given that legalization may happen, and taking that given, trying to come up with the best possible scheme that we can in order to address all the ancillary things that grow out of that decision. So it's not – I think the tax commissioner was absolutely right that it's not a debate about whether or not to legalize. It's a debate about if it is legalized, which question we are not answering, what would be the best way to do that.
You know, it's interesting, of the eight states that have legalized marijuana, all of them have taken this step through a citizen referendum process, not a legislative process. Vermont could be the first state to pass legalization through the approval of the legislature. Tom, you have a lot of legislative experience. How does this factor influence the debate over legalizing pot in Vermont?
Well, I think we have an advantage in Vermont by virtue of not having a citizen referendum process. I think that's served the state well since we started as a state. And the main reason I believe in that is that the give and take of the legislative process, the fact-finding process, the sifting through of opinions, the taking of public testimony, going through different committees and the different bodies, the Senate and the House, I think at the end of the day yields better laws, better statutes that are better for the people of the state of Vermont.
Jake, do you think that the legalization question and having it debated in a legislative arena influences the work of the commission in any way?
Well, I think that the House and the Senate have both done a tremendous amount of work and held a number of hearings and collected a great deal of evidence. And I feel that it's a great advantage for this commission to have all of that work accessible to us. And obviously, there's a different dynamic, as Tom just described, in the process of getting something through the House and Senate versus a commission looking at it. And I think that one of the advantages of the commission is that at this point we have lots of experts in their respective fields drilling down and really taking a look at what the legislative process has collected as well as the new data that's available. And one of the things that is a touchstone of this entire subject is that things change every day, really. There's new information, new evidence, and there's lots of challenges given the continued federal prohibition on collecting additional evidence and data. And so there's always room for more work to be done.
Let's turn to Tom in Chester. Hey, Tom, welcome to the program.
Yes, thank you. I have a question about organizations that have their own rules and regulations and drug screening processes, such as the Air Guard and the reserves. I worked for Vermont Yankee. They had their own program. What's going to happen to companies like that with legalization? Is it going to be a situation where somebody gets busted and they go out and get a smart lawyer who then says, well, your regulations are no longer legal? I'm wondering about the future in regards to employment for firms such as that.
Tom Little, what do you think?
Well, I know that Vermont law permits employers to prohibit employees from coming to work impaired by alcohol, or I would say impaired by marijuana use. What we're finding out in the commission work and what the legislature has learned well is that the testing of marijuana impairment isn't as simple as the means that we have established for testing alcohol impairment. You see that in the context of highway safety. But I don't think the law is going to restrict employers for whom having unimpaired workers is a very high priority from continuing to keep that human resource policy.
And Jake, the whole idea of driver impairment, that's a huge issue for the governor. Do you think that's an issue that there will be a reliable roadside test or some system that can be used to measure impairment?
Well, that's an important question, Bob. And, you know, that's one of the areas that has seen a lot of advances, although I don't think the advances have gotten to the point where there's a great deal of confidence in the ability to test impairment in a roadside test or even in blood tests after the fact. And so, you know, part of the reality of that debate with respect to impaired driving is that it's happening anyway. So regardless of whether cannabis is legalized in Vermont, we're still going to need to address that issue. Whether it's legalized or not doesn't eliminate the existence of impaired drivers using marijuana. So that'll be something. And really, you know, it's not absolutely essential in my mind to have that nailed down as far as the, you know, absolute given answer on that, because, you know, there were tests for impaired driving before there were breathalyzers. It was still illegal to drive while intoxicated or impaired. But you know, I think anytime you move into legalizing a new substance or anything like that, you really need to move with caution. And again, going back to the mission of the commission, find the best possible answer that we have at this time.
And are you looking at how other states deal with this?
Yeah, and you know, there are certainly some states that are experimenting with saliva tests. There's also different standards that have been adopted by various states. For instance, there's in some states a per se rule that if you have 0.5 nanogram or 5 nanograms in your blood, that you are thereby impaired. Others are 2%. Others have not addressed marijuana directly, even though they have medical or recreational marijuana under their statutes. So I think it's really something that is very much in flux at this point needs to be addressed very seriously.
You know, some members of the commission are disappointed with the notion that it's inevitable that Vermont will legalize marijuana. Dr. Jill Reinhart, who is a primary care pediatrician, does not favor the legalization of marijuana in Vermont and thinks there might be some serious consequences to legalizing pot here.
How you do that and result in an overall improvement to public safety will be sort of my role here on the commission, to hold them to that task. You know, we are kind of facing this public desire for something to change with relation to marijuana, but I think there's a lot of unanticipated consequences that we are now learning so much about.
Tom, what about those concerns?
Well, I'm hopeful, Bob, that the people making these decisions, the legislators and the governor and the people advising them, are keeping an open mind. The commission and its three subcommittees are gathering a good deal of data, research, and stories from Vermont and from other states. Some of this likely has already been presented to the legislative committees in the past few years, but we know that we're producing some new research and new data. And I think it's critical for the decision makers to remain open-minded that we may be presenting some things that should cause them to think again about the best course of action for Vermont in terms of legalization or not legalization. One of the things I learned through 11 years in the House was sometimes the hard way was the law of unintended consequences. And a lot of effort needs to be put on figuring out what the facts are, what the real problem is before jumping to a solution. And I'm reasonably confident that that's the process that we're going to have here in Vermont, that this will be a fact-driven, data-based decision-making process.
And there are some people who question the need to have a commission at all because they think many of the issues surrounding legalization of marijuana have already been closely examined many times. Laura Subin, the director of the Vermont Coalition to Regulate Marijuana, had these thoughts.
Much of what this commission is charged with looking at and reviewing, we've already done in a comprehensive way in Vermont, and it's time to move forward. We've studied and studied and studied these issues.
Jake, how do you respond to that?
Well, as I mentioned earlier, it is true that the Senate and the House have done a lot of spade work in examining this issue, but the reality is that they did not come up with the full-blown regulatory plan that would need to be implemented in order to have a robust regulatory system, assuming that's the way that Vermont wants to go. And I think, you know, if you look at other states that have had to deal with the issue of legalization, one of the biggest struggles is the fact that they have a deadline imposed on them for the legalization process without sufficient time to put together a coherent regulatory environment. And so I think that Jay Johnson Pershing put it best, the governor's counsel, when she said this was an attempt to put the horse in front of the cart rather than vice versa, which has been the way in every other state that is legalized.
Let's go back to our callers and talk to Josh in Moncton. Hi, Josh. Welcome to the program.
Thanks for taking my call. I just want to have a response to the roadside testing issue as a regulatory hurdle. I think it's really more of a non-issue, in my opinion, just because why have a roadside test for one specific drug and one for alcohol when there's plenty of other legal pharmaceuticals, for instance, cardiac medications or psychotropic drugs that cause just as much impairment, and they're perfectly legal. Impaired is impaired one way or the other, and I firmly believe that you shouldn't operate machinery impaired, but I'd also believe that this shouldn't be a hurdle. It's just more of an extra step that we're trying to take to either block or delay the process.
Okay, Josh, thanks very much for your phone call. Tom, what about that? Would any kind of roadside test be used for the detection of other drugs as well?
I don't know that we're looking at that specifically, Bob. The roadway safety subcommittee, which has many law enforcement and related expertise on it, is looking carefully at how Vermont, if in a expanded legalization environment, would address roadway safety and crime rates that are directly or indirectly driven by expanded access to cannabis. And we'll be asking them the question that the caller has asked.
This is Vermont Edition. I'm Bob Kinzel. Today, we're looking at the work of the Marijuana Commission with the two co-chairmen of the panel, Jake Perkinson and also Tom Little. We got this email from Dave in Randolph, who wrote, "Is the commission thinking about the speed of implementation? It seems to me that if Vermont keeps dragging its feet on this issue, we're going to be left behind the other New England states, much to our financial detriment." Tom, right at the beginning of the program, you were talking about the work of the commission and how it could guide the legislature in making a decision. Is it your expectation that the legislature won't address the legalization of marijuana during the 2018 session, because your final report of the commission is not due until December of 2018?
Yeah, I'm not going to be a prognosticator of what the General Assembly is going to do, Bob, but I will say that that kind of begs a question that I hear a lot in the community when my comings and goings, and which Dave from Randolph raised, is that there are a lot of Vermonters, I think, who feel that the homegrown legalization option would be sort of legalizing what for them is the status quo. And it would not be contributing to increased access to marijuana from vulnerable populations and young people. There's a great deal of disagreement of that across the political spectrum, and it doesn't follow liberal versus conservative views. So I'm, as I said earlier, I'm hopeful that the legislature will take a look at what we will be able to produce by the middle of January and review and reflect on the research. And also, as Jake has been saying this afternoon, make sure that Vermont, before it makes that decision, knows what it needs in place. What we're seeing in other states, including Massachusetts and Maine, after they've had a referendum enacted, is a lot of scrambling, a lot of backpedaling, trying to figure out exactly how to respond to that. And the sense that I get from talking to some colleagues in Colorado and Washington State is don't rush into this until you've really figured those things out.
Let's go back to our callers and talk to Eli in Winooski. Hi, Eli. Welcome to the program.
Hi. Thank you very much for having me. I did want to note that the bill the governor vetoed last year, S-22, did include a commission, which I think had a lot more teeth and a faster timeline. So I think that should be corrected. And I wanted to say I think that people have a right to be sort of skeptical, if not cynical, about the work of this commission, because I think that the legislature has done a great job. They have investigated, and the administration chose not to show up to the statehouse until April last year. And so, you know, my point mainly was that there are zero caregivers, there are zero patients, there are zero people who are in the cannabis industry legally right now who are involved. Coalition has one spot on the commission. The League of Cities and Towns has two. You know, so I think that on face, there have been a lot of good faith efforts for advocates and people involved to contribute, but it really has been politicized. And I hope that the legislature will take this up again quickly and, if need be, override a Governor Scott's veto if they don't want to progress sort of along with popular opinion. So thank you very much.
Okay, Eli, thanks for your phone call. We're really looking at two models for taxation and regulation. The one that's used in Colorado, where you've got full state regulation, taxation, retail stores, and then you've got one in Washington, D.C., which simply allows for the personal possession of marijuana, no taxes, no stores, no big state regulatory system. Tom, how are you going to determine which approach is best for Vermont?
Well, I think what we're trying to do in the commission, Bob, is determine under either of those options what would the impacts be on highway safety, you know, education and prevention, and the need for regulatory structures. And as I said a few moments ago, there is a lack of consensus in Vermont over whether the lesser of those two legalization options would or would not result in greater access to marijuana for vulnerable populations, youth, and so forth. But we're not going to be making a recommendation about, in my view, about whether one of those options is better than the other or whether neither is appropriate. We're trying to identify and articulate what the state would need in place before those options, one or both of those options, were enacted.
And as you look at those, Tom, do you see pros and cons with each approach?
Well, the Washington, D.C. approach or some variation on that would not generate any state tax or fee revenue, as I understand it. So if the what the commission identifies are potential negative impacts from that option in the communities with our youth and on our highways, and the need for resources to respond to those. And again, there's a disagreement in the state about whether that would happen. There wouldn't be any revenue to help in those in the education, prevention, and safety areas, or for inspection by the Agency of Agriculture for any larger growing operations. On the retail sales front, our regulation and tax subcommittee has developed some revenue estimates from a Washington State or Colorado State model for retail sales, and they've generated a low, middle, and high revenues. And Jake will correct me if I'm wrong, but I think the low, middle, and high revenue scenarios are in the $11 million range, the maybe $16 million range, and the $20 or $21 million range per year. Looking at the results in Colorado and Washington and then prorating them for the Vermont population.
And Jake, as you look at the states that have legalized marijuana, is there a state that stands out that you think has done the best job implementing this law?
Well, I think it's hard to pick one as the best. You know, I think the reality is that all of the states have engaged on a very steep learning curve in dealing with their respective developments. I think that Washington has done a good job in keeping up with their scheme, as has Colorado. I wouldn't, you know, say that they're stellar examples or the best to be followed, but I will say that they've dedicated a lot of resources. And I think the interesting thing about it, and I guess the way that I would answer the question is, you know, that it's a dynamic situation. As I said earlier, the facts that are available and the evidence available constantly changes. It's a brand new industry. It's not like the banking industry where you can get some people that have worked at banks and bring them into government and say, okay, you know, regulate this based on your experience in this industry. So there's no kind of general knowledge about that, which makes it very difficult. I would also, just to go back to the question that you posed to Tom about D.C. versus Colorado, I don't think it's one or the other. There's certainly a potential that there's other schemes that could be adopted that are somewhere along that spectrum. I think those are two examples of a highly regulated and a non-regulated scenario, and it may be that this commission comes up with a suggestion that is in between those two.
Let's turn to JB, who is calling from Montpelier. Hey, JB, welcome to the program.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. I just got a quick question about what the commission and if they're doing anything. I see this as presenting a large cottage industry opportunity for Vermonters, obviously, too. It's a profitable industry, and there is opportunity. Is the commission doing anything to address keeping outside money and corporate interests from coming in and just taking over the whole business, as has happened somewhat in Colorado, Washington, California, to where the local residents are getting pushed out of that or not even seeing an opportunity? I'm wondering if the commission's going to be possibly, if that's going to be addressed production licenses or limiting grow sizes for that are intended for the retail market, so it stays a viable industry for Vermonters and doesn't just become another oligopoly for the few people, the few who have the money to even invest into the industry? That's my question. Thanks.
That's a great question, JB. Jake, this was a big issue in Ohio when they looked at legalization. There were a lot of people who were afraid what they described as the interests of corporate weed coming into the state. What about those concerns?
Yes, it's an interesting question. I think that Ohio was really kind of a bold example of some very highly moneyed interest trying to drive the legislation, which really rubbed people the wrong way. You know, on the one hand, I do have some hesitation in dictating how any business should be run. At the end of the day, if cannabis is legalized, it's going to be like any other business. And once it becomes legalized throughout the entire United States, it's going to have the same kind of operational competition that any business has. I would hate to think what would happen if you said to Ben and Jerry's, okay, you guys can have two scoop shops and that's it. Where would they be today? So I also am very hesitant to say that we can predict what the future of the industry is. Having said that, I do think it's important to have local control, to have opportunities for folks in Vermont to work in the industry, to grow businesses in the industry, to innovate as they have done in areas like cheese and beer. I think it represents a great opportunity if it's to happen for Vermonters to have that small scale craftsperson type approach. And the last thing I would say on that issue is stepping back. I personally don't see that big money weed would really be a threat to Vermont, given the realities of how the product is manufactured and grown. It's incredibly it requires an incredible amount of energy, an incredible amount of time to do it properly, and there's plenty of other places in the country where that can be done more cheaply and more effectively. And if it's just big money interests, they're going to go where they can make the most money. There's a reason that Coors and Budweiser did not come to Vermont and stamp all over the craft brewers. It's just a different model. So I certainly think that concern should be taken into account, and I believe the commission will. But I personally am, you know, I don't think that's really the greatest threat that's facing the Vermont industry.
Well, along these lines, one group keeping a close eye on this issue is Vermont's farming community. Agriculture Secretary Anson Tebbets explains.
I would encourage all our farmers to pay attention to this discussion because from what we've heard today, it's we're not debating if it's going to happen. It's when and how it's going to look. They do have land. They do have infrastructure. They know how to grow things. They know how to sell things.
So, Tom, do you see this as a possible avenue for some farmers in Vermont that there might be some very beneficial economic reasons that they could get involved in this issue?
Well, I know that Secretary Tebbets is clearly making sure that the voice of the Vermont farming community is being heard on this. And the Vermont farmers have had their challenges over the years, and some segments of the farming community are doing really well with value-added agriculture, and others are struggling. The price of milk is often dismal, and so he's being an advocate in the event of the state chooses to go that way to make sure that the Vermont farmers get a place at the table, which I think is appropriate advocacy for him.
Today on the program, we're looking at the work of the Marijuana Commission. We had the two co-chairmen here with us, Jake Perkinson and also Tom Little. Your thoughts, 1-800-639-2211. Let's turn to John in Middlesex. Hi, John. Welcome to the program.
Hi, guys. Thank you for having the program, and thank you for taking my call. I'm a longtime big supporter of deregulation or legalization of marijuana, someone who partook for many years and now have gone 10, 15 years without partaking much. But I still think it's something people should be able to do. And I think there's a lot more opportunity than risk in terms of economic development, less stress on public safety and law enforcement resources and things like that. So I think there's a lot of ways it could be done right, but I also think there's the cynic in me says there's a lot of ways it could be done wrong, like almost on a comical level. So to that extent, my question is, in terms of the members of the commission and maybe some of the legislators and the people that are really going to have the say in this, how many of them have, like, what's the level of hands-on experience with marijuana? You know, the subject matter experts are people that have used and smoked marijuana for many years in a responsible way, a lot of otherwise law-abiding citizens that have jobs and pay taxes and all that stuff. So I'm curious as to how many of those folks are serving on the commission and contributing, as well as the composition of the legislature.
John, thanks for your phone call. Jake, do you think the commission has enough experience on it?
Well, as I said before, it's very difficult to find anybody with experience in the industry, given the fact that it is in such a new phase. And so, you know, I myself have had experience in advising cannabis companies, and I'm familiar with how they operate. We do have somebody from associated with the Marijuana Policy Project who is a member of one of the subcommittees. And really, you know, at this point, what I see the commission going forward on is, as I said earlier, treating cannabis just like any other business, and taking into account the particulars of what it is and the fact that it is you know, a drug that is still federally illegal, which raises all other kinds of issues. But you know, to me, the most important thing is to have the expertise of the folks that are going to be regulating it. And have them have the input on what they need in order to do that effectively.
This is Vermont Edition. I'm Bob Kinzel. Today we're looking at the work of the Marijuana Commission with the two co-chairmen of the panel, Tom Little and Jake Perkinson. Let's talk to Mike, who is calling from Burlington. Hey, Mike, what's on your mind today?
Yeah, good afternoon. First-time caller. So this kind of hit me a little hard here because, you know, my demographics Burlington, 33, seventh grader for a child. And we already have a huge issue in schools all around, I believe, Chittenden County and everywhere, where a seventh grade child can openly tell their parents, yeah, it's going on in schools already, and people are already getting it from their parents. So I feel like it would open up a huge, huge, huge problem for our youth in Vermont and New England, for that matter, where these children are going into their prime 14 years old, and they already have this information, and they can pick and choose, hey, you know, this person and this person. So if we get inside and we're able to do this in our own homes, it'll probably go up 200-300% the availability in our schools. And I don't really know where else I need to go with this, but I just wanted to kind of share that information with the people who are on these commissions who have grandchildren or children, that I'm sure it's going to be great for revenue. But what about the future of our youth when we already have a heroin epidemic and we're calling it a disease? Like the lesser of two evils. I'm done. I'm sorry.
Okay, Mike, we appreciate your phone call. It's a very, very good question. And Tom, one of the charges of the commission in a report that you'll be putting together has to deal with education of young people, prevention programs. Are you concerned that some young people, as Mike suggested, might conclude that if marijuana is legalized, that then it must be safe to use?
Well, I think we're covering that as well. The Subcommittee on Education and Prevention, which includes doctors, nurses, school teachers, we have a school superintendent on it, and we have substance abuse counselors on it, have been pulling together the research on that, Bob. I don't think they can yet tell us. We've only been actually at this about 6 weeks, whether either of the legalization scenarios would be increasing access by the youth. But that's clearly the concern. And Mike from Burlington is expressing something that that Jake and I are hearing from a lot of people who are very concerned about that possibility if it were to play out that way. And what we're learning from the research is that the brain development of kids in that age group can be seriously affected in a negative way by significant marijuana usage. And we're trying to balance that in our research, in our work, against the views of someone like John from Middlesex, who says, you know, there are responsible marijuana users in Vermont now. Shouldn't we finally realize that and recognize that in the law?
Jake, have you had a chance to look at, or will you be looking at, the experience of other states and if legalization has led to increased usage by young people?
Yes, we are looking into that. And again, the evidence isn't as widely accepted as you might like, as far as the reliability of the data. You know, there has been a very short experience window with the use of legalized marijuana. And so you have statistics from places like Washington and Colorado, but there are questions about the method that the data is gathered, as well as the timeline to make it reliable or not. And so it's still very challenging to get a consensus on the reliability of the data, but it's certainly something that we'll be looking at. And even without that data, I think you still need to figure out what are the methods that you can implement that will keep youth away from using these drugs to begin with. So I think that would also be another very important part of the commission's work.
And Bob, before we're done, I'd like everyone in the audience to know that we have a pretty good commission website, and you can go there and see what the commission has been up to, look at the subcommittees and all of the reports and research that they've been working on are posted there, and that's at marijuana.commission@vermont.gov.
That's very good information for folks to know. I think there's a correction, though, Tom. I think it is marijuanacommission@vermont.gov. There's no dot between marijuana and commission, but we'll double check that. And maybe we can have an answer, because you gave me that information earlier and I went there, and marijuana.commission takes you to the general Vermont.gov website and homepage. But I noticed that when I went to just marijuanacommission.vermont@vermont.gov, I got right to your website directly. So we'll see if we can clear that up before the end of the program so that our listeners can get that information, which is very valuable. Let's talk to Ken in Barry. Hi, Ken. Welcome to the program.
Hey, thanks. I have a question. I don't know if it was addressed earlier, but how is the commission planning on incorporating or regulating edibles and drinkables as far as marijuana or marijuana products? I know this is coming up in other places, and how do you regulate it? How do you identify it? So if I could get some clarification on that, that would be great.
Sure. Jake, how is the commission looking at that?
Well, we are taking a look at that, and, you know, edibles and liquids present a challenge to regulators because, again, this is an area of innovation. It's not something that has been regulated before. And so the process of putting THC into edibles and liquids is a little bit more tricky than even just measuring the amount of THC in a dried flower. And you also have the challenge of portion sizes. And there's the classic example of Maureen Dowd from the New York Times, who ate an entire chocolate bar that was only supposed to be consumed in pieces and had a very difficult time about that. The other challenge with edibles is, of course, is the attraction to children, which goes hand in hand with the task of developing ways to keep youth from using this product. So it's something we'll be looking at. You know, there are ways that I think some of the approaches have been in very strict labeling laws. There's also been some attempts to prevent any of the edibles from looking appetizing, such as not allowing any kind of fruity flavors or colors or things of that nature. So there are a number of options out there to address that. You know, there's also the possibility of not allowing edibles at all. I'm not saying one way or the other whether that's advisable. I'm just saying that that's within the realm of things that are possible.
And Bob, I would add to Ken's point that if Vermont, the legislature decides to go there and the governor agrees, there will definitely need to be robust regulation on content, on potency. There'll need to be inspections, and there'll need to be rules about labeling.
And just so our listeners understand, the link to the Marijuana Commission, we want to make sure that we get that straight. It is marijuanacommission@vermont.gov. And you can get all the information there and see what the reports that are going to be posted and hearings and meetings for that commission. Tom, we got this email from Patty in Hardwick who says, what about Attorney General Jeff Sessions saying he won't ignore illegal activities around marijuana? I mean, this is still against federal law. So how does that affect the whole discussion?
Well, it's always in the background, Bob, and Patty's good to raise it for us. In the prior administration, the U.S. Attorney General's office had issued a memo essentially laying down some conditions which, if satisfied by a state, would mean that the federal law enforcement would not likely take action against people in that state. And that memo is probably non-operational now. With the new administration, and I think it's certainly out there. But our focus, Bob, really is on what the Vermont legislature should do. What information we should be giving the legislators and the governor, so they can make informed decisions based on good data.
And if it does go through, does it mean, like in Colorado, it will be a cash business in Vermont? Is that a problem?
I think the banking and the credit union industry is starting to figure out ways to provide banking services to the marijuana industry in states. We know that in Vermont that's starting to happen with the medical marijuana dispensaries, and I'm confident in the ingenuity of bankers. But they have a huge federal issue to worry about too, Bob.
Well, it's been an important discussion about the future of efforts to legalize marijuana in Vermont. Many thanks to our guests today, Tom Little and Jake Perkinson. We really appreciate you being on the program.
Thank you, Bob.
Thanks.